It's Mike Shope.
Last night at 12:30 in the morning, I ate a can of mushrooms. I did. Pieces and stems, if you're wondering. As opposed to buttons. It was pieces and stems, which will be my next year's fantasy football team name.
Pieces and stems.
Pieces and stems.
And the Bulldog.
I should be ashamed to admit this publicly, but whatever. How long have we been doing this? I'm a junkie. I can't be trusted.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Creeping closer to training camp and the upcoming Bills season. Love to hear your thoughts, your feelings, your vibes. 803-0550. Had a esteemed fantasy guest today, Sigmund Bloom. That guy knows it all. So it's even a little, I think we're in the fantasy window. It's Friday for the next, 5 weeks or so.
It's almost August. There's that. And it feels like, it feels like, you should be, reading. I don't know, the magazines on the racks?
I mean, probably. I don't know.
Are there still racks?
Are there magazines? Are there racks? Yes. There are, yes.
I haven't gotten the RotoWire delivery. I don't know if that still comes.
Oh, wow. Shots fired. Let me see if I can get that to you. I know the right people on that one.
Right.
The guy who runs it is a Bills fan. He's a Buffalo guy. Tim Schuler. Theo's there now. Jeff Erickson, Mario. Lots of those guys have been on with us.
Mm-hmm.
They would love to get you a magazine.
It shows up, I think, every year. So,
do you know where your mailbox is?
I'm sitting in it. This is my mailbox.
Room?
Yeah, I think.
Does it get delivered to this room? It's very possible the person who would have done that for you in the past doesn't work here anymore.
Often enough, it is our boss who will walk in with mail like that. Like, hey, you guys got stuff. And so, I don't know, I'm on the lookout.
I think my mailbox is in there, but I have not attended to it in possibly years.
I definitely have a mailbox in there. There is a broken pair of headphones in there. That's it.
You don't get any mail?
No.
Get Bulldog some mail. He's dying for it. Look at him. He's begging you. Here's Jason with us. Hi, Jason.
Hey, so BB, happy Friday. How you guys doing?
Good, man. Happy Friday to you, too.
Hey, I just want to get your thoughts on some of the things I've been thinking about with Joe Brady lately and see what you think. First off, we haven't talked about it in a while, but, the first, vote of confidence or yeah, Joe, good for you. Was when that story about Vrabel ripping up his name tag came out. Kind of like, Joe Brady didn't do anything, but it looks like, hey, bully, that's what you get, with the whole Diana Rossini incident. And just makes me think, I wonder, did Brady happen to tip somebody off at the pool? Say, hey, man, you might want to get out there and see that. But anyhow, so after the playoff game in Denver and McDermott getting fired, I was upset about it, but I kind of understood because McDermott, although he was very consistent, he got us there every year. He could never get us over the hump. So fine, you let him go. But then they bring in Joe Brady, making him the head coach. I'm like, oh, here we go. The guys yesterday were rehashing the Denver game. The guys in the morning were rehashing the Denver game and talking about all the consecutive stops that the defense gave the team and they couldn't find a way to win. It was not the defense's fault. It was the offense's fault. It was their turnovers, in my opinion. But, and then they start talking about Carmichael and how he likes to throw to the tight or to the running backs all the time. We have the quarterback with the biggest arm in the league, and we don't throw the ball more than 5 yards down the field. It's so infuriating. I couldn't stand it last year with Joe Brady's offense. And now it just feels like it's going to get even worse. And I'm just curious, if this thing goes bad this year, could it go bad enough that they could potentially fire Brady? I'm not even giving the guy a chance. I know that, but I just don't have a lot of confidence in him based on what I've seen him do so far. And I just am curious what you guys think about that.
I hope you won't be upset that I have not thought for 5 seconds about what kind of season the Bills would have for them to make a coaching change.
Why are you guys so negative?
I mean, that's where all that ends is how does he get fired?
I don't know.
I mean, camp starts Tuesday. How does he get fired?
I don't know.
How does he get? Let's answer it.
That whole thing was a ride.
I couldn't even make out the first stuff.
I made it out. It was horrific.
How?
But, yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, you run into me in a bar. You ask me straight up, like, is there a scenario where Joe? Yeah, they go 5-12. Like, the bottom completely falls out of it, and it's a disaster. Like, assuming everyone's healthy, and they just have some incredibly terrible year, like, yeah, that could happen. It's just like a half of a percent chance I think it happens, but it could happen.
I can't conceive of that season because of Allen. If Allen's hurt, he's off the hook.
Right, yeah, that's why I said if everyone's healthy and they have that year, then...
Even if it's just Allen, it's healthy.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
What is he going to... escape if his guards get hurt or something? I don't know. I can't even really conceive of a season where they lose so often. How would it happen if their defense is horrible? Is that going to be on him either? Like, how do the Bills... You asked. We take the calls we get, right?
Right.
So how do the Bills have that level bad, like Browns level bad season? Without an injury, like a Josh Allen injury, if the defense is 32nd and they just can't handle it, but would that reflect on Brady that seriously? You know, nobody wants to make a change after 1 year. Brady's been here. They didn't bring him in. They brought him up. So I don't know. Yeah. I almost can't even conceive of a year where that – I haven't thought about it for 5 seconds. Like I just
– Yeah. Like even when I'm – you know, I guess I would, you know, have to be qualified as, you know, I'm balking at pessimistic, but like sort of, I'm struggling to just assume it's all going to be full speed ahead, go win your 12 games with all the new that is here. But even with that, like in my head, if I've never made it clear, they're still like winning 10 games. You know, it's just not all great. It's not all buttoned up because I think. It can be a lot to ask to get all of that right away, especially the scheme change on defense, which may require some different personnel year over year. And you it's a lot to add in 1 year and just get all that right. So, but even that isn't a doomsday scenario to me. It's just a, you know, you're scuffling to make it in as opposed to just ruling the roost. You know, that's in the window to me, but that is not what this caller is talking about. He's talking about a, you know, whatever. Do you want me to try to explain what he was getting at? Okay, good. I really don't want to. I think we'll all be better without me repeating it.
I heard one word name that I know it tells me I don't want to hear it explained to me, and that's okay. Russini.
Yep.
Like, I have no interest in bringing that back up. I have the Denver box up. Who scored touchdowns in that game for Denver?
Mims. Right, that was the big one at the end.
Minute left.
Yeah.
To go ahead. The Bills tied it after that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm dead on the other two. I think I could, if I had been given all day or, you know, several minutes to just start spitting out names of Denver players, I would have gotten one of them, but not the other.
Yeah.
The other is not familiar to me at all. But I watched that game. I'm pretty sure I watched that game.
Is there like some depth tight end or something?
Offensive tackle, even.
Okay. Well, that...
Frank Crum.
Oh, boy.
So that would have been like a tackle eligible kind of play?
I would imagine that's what that is, yeah.
And Lil Jordan Humphrey.
Okay.
Caught one late in the first half to give Denver the lead, presumably after a turnover. Or then there was their turnover after that, and they kicked the field goal. That's the Allen... Oof, that game. Man, how'd you lose? Well, that's how.
Yeah, you gave the ball away like crazy.
Quarterback on a broken ankle? Let me put to you, thanks, Jason. Let me put to you the question we talked about with Sam. If you can access some Super Bowl odds, who has the right to be ticked off? So the Rams are the favorite. Sam liked it when I gave him time to think about it. I'll do the same for you. I owe you at least the same.
I mean, I'm familiar because I looked at the odds when we were talking to Sam.
Okay.
So it's not, but I do want to access it again, which is just going to take a minute here, just so I have it. Because I did have a thought when I first opened it. The first team I thought of, and I'll tell you in a minute. I just want to make sure I can confirm it.
Miami.
No, it's definitely not Miami.
Plus 35,000.
I don't know how much higher this team should be, but San Francisco being plus 1,600.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, they're tied with Kansas City and the Chargers. So, it's not, you know, they just happen to be the last team that's at that number. There's three teams at that number, the two I just mentioned in San Francisco.
On DraftKings, they're higher, 1,900, okay. Tied for 11th.
I think that feels a little harsh to me. Like, that team is almost always excellent year over year. They've had injury years where everything completely derails. And, like, that's in a separate category. And I don't think the odds are predicated on, oh, I think Brock Purdy's going to get hurt again. I mean, everything is baked in. But I just doubt that would move them down a lot. Just, you know, a threat of injury. Because you could do that with anyone. So I feel like they're my answer when you brought that up to Sam. That was the team I thought.
Okay.
I think maybe they should get a little more respect. Like, I don't know. Maybe they should be ahead of the Ravens and the Chargers. They're even with the Chargers, at least in the odds I'm looking at. But maybe they should be ahead of the Ravens.
And DraftKings, the Ravens are plus 1,000, 10-1, and San Francisco is 19-1. It's almost double. The Ravens are definitely not the answer to this.
No, I don't think
they have no room to complain that they're not getting enough love in the betting markets. They always get the love in the betting markets. One of these years, maybe they'll actually do it.
Like, I would not say, as much as I'm bullish on Cincinnati, I'm not put out by their it's been a while since they've been a cream of the crop type team. So
they're not being sold short.
No, I don't think so. I mean, their odds are long, and they deserve to be. The other team that caught my eye is another NFC team, and that would be the Bears.
I like that.
The Bears were excellent last year, right? I mean, maybe excellent is too much. But
no, they were great. They were good.
They were really, really good, if not great. And
they've won their division. They won a playoff game.
They've got a lot coming back. Like, there's a lot to like there, I think. And they're below the Cowboys here. At FanDuel, yep, anyway. I've got them at 2,700.
I'm 24. Dallas 25. Chicago 24.
So like that feels a little tough, you know. Jacksonville's down there too, and I like Jacksonville, but you know they're Jacksonville.
30-1.
No, I don't. Lawrence has been around longer. It's more known who he is and what he is and what he's capable of.
I would say them.
Yeah.
Because on DraftKings they rank 17th. Among 32 teams, favorite to the Cardinals, mm-hmm. Rams to the Cardinals. They come in just inside the bottom half of the league. And what is the problem? It's not their division.
Right.
Last year they won 13 games.
There is, again, we're looking at different odds. I cannot get friendly with that DraftKings app, no matter what I do. It freezes on me constantly. I've dumped it and reinstalled it a dozen times. I just can't. Anyway, so I'm back on FanDuel because at least it works for me. Maybe I have a iPad problem. I don't know, but everything else works besides their app. So anyway, that aside, there is a cliff at FanDuel. Like, the Bears and the Jaguars are both 27-1. And then the next team is 45-1.
Okay, same here, pretty much.
Tampa is at least on this list. Tampa and the Colts, and the Vikings, for that matter, are at that same number.
Yep.
So there's a cliff there, at least, you know, that Jacksonville is, you know, not in. They're not in the canyon with those other teams.
I'm just thinking about, like, how fans, you know, what have we heard fans complain about over the years? One thing with the Bills is a lack of national attention or respect, right? Like, we sort of walk around a little bit bitter that, not so much anymore, although probably it's the same. I think people who see things that way may always see things that way, but just like, well, you know, why don't they get any respect? That would be a Jacksonville fan, because that's a team, yep, that would suffer from that. It's always, you know, we wear teal, that kind of stuff. Like, mm-hmm, we're always looked down on. And some teams, I mean, Sam's not here to vouch for this, but some teams always are being bet. You know, like the national team, so to speak. That's the Bears. Last week, he and I did talk about the Bears in this context and how the Bears are like a public team, as he put it, for the first time. Maybe Pittsburgh, maybe Green Bay. I mean, certain teams, mm-hmm, that you go out, whether it's on your phone or you go to Vegas or something, and you put $50, $100 on your favorite team to win it all, and there are fans of those teams everywhere. Dallas
maybe. Is definitely one of those teams, I would say, yes.
And Jacksonville is the opposite.
Right.
So they seem better to me than 30-1. And
if I were one of their fans, I would agree.
Be like, what have we got to do? Like, they did lose the Bills game. They did lose in the first round, but they're right there, toe-to-toe. And, you know, I think we're good. So I would say that to the question, whose fans have the greatest right to complain about this pecking order? I would say Jacksonville's up there. I think I would say Denver.
Yeah,
they're at 20-1, having just won the conference in the regular season.
Being a starting quarterback's broken ankle away from going to the Super Bowl, probably.
Yep. I mean, the Chiefs and the Chargers, there's not much separation, but Denver is third of those teams. And, you know like, hi, maybe you didn't watch football last year, but 14-3. And, you know, what got worse for Denver? Jalen Waddle showed up, by the way.
Right.
Like, I don't know. They would be one of these
teams.
There's
no backward step there at all that I've heard about or that I can really think about for them.
So, right. I mean, their division is harder, it would, you know, on paper, I think, than the Jacksonville one.
Right. I guess if you expect a Chiefs rebound, then that maybe is – maybe that's a lot of it. Maybe that's most of it.
Yeah.
Is that the Chiefs – you expect the Chiefs to be back, therefore, and the Chargers are also getting some love, and so it's just – yeah, it's tougher. Yeah, one of the things I like about Jacksonville, like I'm – you're talking me into maybe doing something with Jacksonville because I'm down on Houston – so if I'm going to be down on Houston,
but
somebody's going to do that, you know, get that division, and that, maybe it's Jacksonville again.
Well, spend your money if you so choose, but you forgot that you love Cam Ward.
I don't love Cam Ward enough to think that they're going to do anything, like, really big. I just think, like, today, this year will be a step forward, and they'll feel like going into next year, okay, we got our guy. That's what I predict for Cam Ward.
Interesting. So, can I get you Jacksonville's schedule here?
Sure.
What kind of, like, play it out in your mind. Like, what kind of season is this? Week one, home to the Browns.
Okay.
Better win.
Okay, yeah.
Survivor candidate, right?
Yep.
I think the line is something, maybe 4.5 only, but survivor candidate. Week two at Denver.
Okay. They won there last year, but tough.
They did.
Yep.
They'll be an underdog.
Yep.
I bet.
I would too.
Week three, New England. Week four at Cincinnati. Week five in London, Philadelphia.
Oh, boy.
Week six in London, Houston. Bye week, Colts, Ravens away on a Thursday night. Short week at Baltimore. At Tennessee, at the Giants. Tennessee again. All right. At Chicago. Tough. December. Pittsburgh on a Monday night. At Houston, at Dallas. Washington, Colts.
That
sort of feels 500-ish.
That is a hard schedule. Yeah, the front end of it, I don't know how many games you listed before. Right after you got to the Baltimore short week, and then it's a bye? Is that what you said?
The bye's early. The bye's after the two London games.
Oh, okay, sorry. I don't know. If they can get out of that front end of the schedule, like two games above 500, maybe they're in great shape. But that is going to be a heavy lift, I think.
If they can get to 5-2 going to Baltimore with, you know, maybe the Eagles. I'm not a big Eagles guy right now. Who knows if Denver is really that good. New England is another one. Houston, they're close to being on par with these teams, I think, Jacksonville.
Yep.
So if I can get to 5-2, then Baltimore on the Thursday night, then Titans, Giants, Titans. Okay.
Yeah,
I've got Pittsburgh again.
Kind of catch your breath
Colts
a little
again.
Bit there. Yeah.
Now I'm in the playoffs.
Right.
That might be what I need to get.
That front end
the playoffs.
Is harsh. Yeah. Yeah, I'm inclined to still like them. I mean, I don't know if they can get Brian Thomas Jr. right. You know, like because, like, really, right, the story was, like, Meyer showed up and sort of that was it. He's, you know, and we got, is it Parker Washington and, like, whatever else they've got there. It's nice. So, I don't know, like, maybe they still end up where they ended up last year at the trade deadline, calling teams. I think they were shopping Brian Thomas Jr. last fall. Maybe they end up doing the same thing, or maybe he just carves out a spot there, and it's like they're loaded. Because, like, if he's anything like he was his rookie year, that's nasty. Like, they are, they could be nasty. Like, they got guys, any one, like, three different guys that go for 100 yards any week, I think.
Yeah, if Washington's good, I had Mike Dempsey last Friday, and he absolutely thinks so. Came on big time late in the year. Didn't do anything until that. Hasn't ever done anything until that, but did happen. Travis Hunter, they need him more on defense, apparently.
Right.
But that's something that could also change. And then Myers. And, oh, the big, you know, Bulldog, the big one, though, is Bashal Tootin. What's going to happen in that backfield? Some of us, don't raise your hand because you're driving. Some of us have invested fairly heavily in this young man and would like to see him get a starting role, if not a bell cow role, with some pass-catching upside.
Well, Etienne's gone.
Gone, New Orleans.
So who? What's the...
Chris Rodriguez, who was a backup in Washington, on and off the practice squad forever, and he might be goal line. And then you have LaQuint Allen from Syracuse going into his second year that could also be a thorn in the Tootin side, the Tootin camp. I wanted to get to Tootin Common.
Good God.
I had to just sort of give up and say that I was thinking about it. Well, I mean, all the fan, everybody in fantasy is like obsessed with Jacksonville's, with this guy and like what will happen. Tootin people, Rodriguez people, even LaQuint Allen people.
Wow.
If you remember that playoff game.
I don't know any of these people.
No, you don't want to know these people.
I'm glad.
If you remember that playoff game, whenever they gave the ball to Bashal Tootin, it was hot. Like that, I've been going on these shows saying all the Jaguars had to do to beat the Bills was just keep doing that, but they didn't, and you know they lost. So I think he looks like somebody that could be really good. In which case, more reason to
like them.
To like them. Yep. We like Brian Koziol. So he has his annual Duster challenge, putting challenge tonight at Glen Oak.
Yes, yes.
It might be already underway. He's out there.
Okay, yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what time it's there. I was there last year. I took the day off
to putt.
To pull. I golfed at like 2 o'clock, and so we could be there, Owen and I, for this event. And I think Owen is on his way out there too to take part again this year. With maybe your, I think Joe Calley and maybe Sneaky Joe are also from the morning show. The morning show that's not on vacation because I think Jeremy's away this week.
They're all there otherwise.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm glad you thought to call Brian today, because when we talked to him on Monday, when we hung up, what did I say to you? Like, oh, I wanted to give Brian a chance to promote his event on Friday.
Here it comes.
At Glen Oak, so we'll do that now. Yeah.
We will do that after sports. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.